Advertising used to be simple. Your options were radio, TV, newspaper, and let's not forget the yellow pages. Now it seems like a tidal wave of options. Podcast, cable TV, streaming, OTT, CTV, audio network, smart speakers. On top of that, you need digital marketing for your website along with SEM, SEO, display, video, YouTube, email, and all the social media platforms. Look, you're the expert in your business. Wouldn't it be nice to have an expert to market you? We are Bonneville Salt Lake, the local marketing and media company you know and trust. We reach customers across all digital and social platforms and have the reach of traditional advertising available as well. We find your customer anytime, any place, anywhere on any device here in Utah or anywhere in the world. We work to optimize your results with our in-house local team of experts, providing you with qualified leads, not just impressions. Contact Stephanie Palmer at VKSL Sports for a free consultation, including a complete digital audit with no obligation or cost to you. Email spalmer@ksl.com. That's spalmer@ksl.com.
97.5 KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City, and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvan. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Get to it, folks. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. How you doing, buddy?
Well.
I'm fired up.
I'm well.
I got some stuff for you.
I'm excited. What do you got?
I got some news.
Some news? Some info?
I got some news.
Some insight?
I got some insight.
Well, it is going to be a good show today. It was funny because you and I both sent Lloyd the Frank Cervalli tweet. And said, hey, let's get this guy on. Great job by Lloyd to go get this guy on. But Frank Cervalli, what do you know about him? Or Lloyd, what do we know about him?
All I know is that he sent out a tweet earlier today.
It feels like he's the NHL insider of NHL insiders. So it seems like he's a big-time leader in NHL news.
Well, he tweeted out earlier today, and let me just make sure I've got the tweet here. Where are you? Frank Cervalli. Sources say NHL is drafting two schedule versions for next season, one with the Coyotes in Arizona, another one with a relocated franchise playing in Salt Lake City. Fluid situation, lots of moving parts, details on dual path and potential transaction. He wrote up a story about it. I retweeted it. I know you retweeted it. He's the Hockey Insider and president of hockey content on Daily Faceoff. He's got over 315,000 followers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
As you mentioned. So this dude knows his stuff, and he's a great NHL insider. So,
and they're mocking up two different schedules.
Yes.
It's quickly becoming a reality, and sports fans here in the state of Utah need to start to understand it, embrace it, learn a little bit more about it. There is a group of NHL fans here in Utah.
Yes.
There's a group. I don't know how broad it really is. I've been putting out a couple poll questions today just to get a sense, and I need to probably put out more to get a better understanding of how many NHL fans there are here and what they think and how they feel about this. But everybody needs to start to brace a little bit because this is coming.
It is coming. Now it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Whether it's this purchase or it's an expansion, it feels like it's coming.
This is why Well, you know what? Let's just get to it. You okay if we start with this?
Yeah, let's do.
Let's do it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting lineup brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call Lee's right now for their $59 furnace tune-up special. You can also maybe parlay that into an AC tune-up special as well. All you have to do is go to leesheatac.com. All right, so again, there's a lot of moving parts here. The story that we just referenced with Frank Cervalli, he will join us coming up today at 2:05. He mentioned that an announcement might be coming as early as April 18th. You and I mentioned that next week, yesterday on the show, could be a very big week on this as well, because this is certainly in play here. I've been on the phone with a couple of people earlier today, some down in the Phoenix market. There are some scenarios that you have to keep in play. This is what's going on with the Coyote ownership group that you have to look at. The NHL is fed up with the Coyotes. They're fed up with the ownership group. They're fed up with the situation. They're done with dealing with
them. Playing in the Mullet Arena for as long as they've played there and no prospects of anything greater than that, I could see why.
So they are in a college arena that only seats 4,500 people. The NHL doesn't like the look. They think it's embarrassing for that organization. They think it's embarrassing for the league, and they're done with it. They are essentially, and we asked John Gambora about this earlier the week, or last week, I guess, when he joined us. How much power does the NHL commissioner actually have? Because there's Roger Goodell, who runs the NFL with an iron fist, and there's other commissioners who just get pushed around a little bit. Well, right now, the commissioner of the NHL is trying to handle this with an iron fist, and he's done with dealing with Phoenix and dealing with that ownership group. So he has essentially laid out some options. And number one is sell the team, be done. Number two is relocate and find somewhere else to go to inside the Phoenix area, whether it's in a new arena or, well, I mean, not a new arena, but you've got to find a better place that's going to suit more people and fill, you know, get 15,000 people in. Good luck trying to find that. And number three is sell the team, and we will give you an expansion team if you're able to acquire that land in that deal. But we're not waiting until the end of June and then all the other hurdles that come along with it and wait another 2 or 3 years for you to build your arena. We need this situation fixed right now. This is all playing in the hands of and in the favor of Salt Lake City and Ryan Smith. Now, that's coming from several sources down in the Arizona. Jason or John Gambora tweeted out something very similar about this, but the situation is very, very tenuous for that ownership group in Phoenix because the NHL is done right now with them.
A couple of things. I did see the Gambora tweet, and I've been listening to some of the land rights and the auction that's going on, the bidding that's going on, and I've listened to a couple of other guys talk about the specifics on that land and the probability of this guy getting his hands on it. They want it to go into building. They want more housing because that market is all about housing. It's not so much industrial, and they've already got their NFL, and they've already got their NBA, and they've already got their Major League Baseball, and they need more housing, and they need more living area. So I listened to some of that. It made me think the commissioner of the NHL right now and anybody that's affiliated with it, seeing the embarrassment that is the Coyotes at this point with how poorly they've been managed, how poorly they've played, how poorly they've been represented, where they've been housed, a 4,000-seat college arena. This is the feel that I get. I feel like they're going to leverage and do what they need to do to get that team out of there.
Yep.
And so they're going to say, oh, hey, look, let's sell this, and then we'll work this expansion. We'll give you opportunities to bring it back, but you do what you got to go do. Number one, knowing they're not going to get it done. because that land is too valuable. There's too many other greedy grubs that want it, and they aren't going to turn it over to somebody that's going to turn it into a multi-venued event center. It's just not going to happen. So the NHL's like, yeah, but what we got to do is just get it out of this area that's treating it like trash. And it is. It's a complete embarrassment. I want people to just picture an NBA team taking their team and placing it in and not a really good college arena.
Not the Marriott Center.
No.
Not the Spectrum. Not the Huntsman Center. And again, this isn't any disrespect. It just doesn't seat a lot. Like the UV, where UVU plays. You know, where it'll sit like 4,000. And by the way, that's a great venue. It just doesn't seat a lot of people.
It is. It's a great venue, but it doesn't seat a lot. It doesn't have a great parking structure.
Yeah.
It's got a decent inlet and outlet. I will give it that. It's decent inlet and outlet. And you're right. We're not attacking it. It's just what it is. It's where UVU is and what that place is. I've been in there at least 100 times for differing events, including my girls' volleyball. And I used to call the fights that we had in there. And so I know that venue well, and I think that's a great call. Imagine taking the Jazz and housing them there and not – presenting the NBA and all of its other teams with a plan to get it the hell out of there.
Yep.
And be able to say, oh, no. Here's the plans. Here's the land. This is the structure. And this is where we're going. The NBA would look at you like, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett coming in and flying into Salt Lake City and driving to the point of the mountain and going around the point of the mountain and finding parking and getting into a venue, walking in and being like, what? This is where we're playing? We're the NB frickin' A.
Yeah.
And the NHL's got to feel the same way about what's happening in Phoenix. And they've got to be out of their minds. That's why I feel like, and you brought this point up from the get-go, how much does this commissioner want to flex his muscles? Because we saw the NBA flex their muscles, and when somebody was recorded without their knowledge being a racist, that dude was plucked out of the NBA really fast.
Yep.
And it's like, man, we've got this beautiful product, and we've got this prestigious league, but we've got these guys that are coming in. We've got the Bruins that are coming into Phoenix and stepping into a college arena, and these guys are making $18, $24 million a year. And they're playing in front of 2,000 fans that are sitting in a 4,000 No, not doing this anymore.
Another thing that I think is important to note here is, and again, we've gotten to know him a little bit, but I think a lot of credit needs to go to Ryan Smith for laying some great groundwork here. Because Ryan Smith, and this, I mean, let's just, there's two different things going on here. Number one, what we've seen publicly, and number two, what I've heard has gone on privately. First off, publicly, he has been very upfront and honest. I want NHL. We have a plan in place. We are ready. We're an active partner. We're ready to go as soon as they're ready to go. Privately, the groundwork that has been laid by not just Ryan, but the Smith Entertainment Group to build the foundation and build the infrastructure to be ready to go has been phenomenal. They will be a turnkey operation. So when this happens and when the Coyotes are essentially forced to sell, which it appears to be that appears to be happening, the NHL is saying, you're not just selling it to anybody. You're selling it to that guy because that guy's ready. We're not going to go through the whole bid process. We're not going to go through the, okay, here's all these potential buyers. You're selling it to him.
Yeah.
Because he and this organization has built the groundwork and the relationships needed so that the NHL says, no, we don't want it to go, let's see, maybe Atlanta, maybe here. And we go through this lengthy process. No, it's you're going to sell it to him, and they're going to be playing there in October. So let's go. What's your price tag? We'll let you guys figure it out. Technically, you could sell to whoever you want, but I'm the commissioner. I want it to go to him. They're ready to go. Let's finish it. And props to not just Ryan, but a lot of other people in that organization that have done yeoman's work to get the groundwork laid, develop the relationships, and make sure that they are at the forefront of what's about to happen here.
Yeah, and having the state unified in sport, too. I mean, yes. this state is embracing sport as much as any state you could imagine. Just the overall effort. And, you know, look, I know we have differences with the politicians in this state, and we're not going to agree with everything, but from Mayor Mendenhall and her openness and willingness and efforts to Governor Cox and his love of the sporting landscape here in the state of Utah, and having them backing Ryan Smith and saying, yeah, we're here. This is going to be a great landing spot.
Yes.
The city wants you. The state wants you. And also showing a willingness to implement different tax codes and legislation. And
I'm glad you brought that up, because that and sorry to cut you off, because that's also another element that I wanted to bring up as well, because the NHL realizes that they don't want now the capacity of an NHL arena in the current status of the Delta Center is going to be around 12,000, 12,500, around there. Because once they have to back up everything and with the infrastructure, that's still not ideal for what the NHL wants. They want something quite a bit more sizable with better sight lines and everything else that goes along with it. So the NHL has said, look, we like what you're building there. We like the infrastructure you have in place, but that's not going to be a long-term future for what we want. Now, it's certainly better than what Phoenix has in their podunk college gymnasium that they're playing in right now. But we're going to need a plan. And I think the NHL has gone to the Smith Entertainment Group and said, we need a timeline of when you can have that new building ready to go, or a redevelopment of the Delta Center so it can seat 16, 17, 18,000 and have great sight lines for hockey. And so that is why what happened in the last legislative session was so important, because now they can say, look, we have the backing from the state. We have the tax dollars in place. We have this plan. We will have this new building or a renovated building that will meet codes for everything you want from us. And here's the plan in place, and it's laid out. Here Phoenix is, and that ownership ground down there is like, well, we hope to get some land in June 27th, but we're not sure, but we're going to give it our best shot. And then after that, we're going to hope that we can have it ready in 2 or 3 years. You know, we're probably going to deal with some legal issues. And the NHL's like, no, you have to have a plan. And here comes Ryan Smith and saying, okay, guess what? I've got the government backing. I've got the land. I've got the plans. I've got the tax dollars. I've got everything in place. You give me that organization, and I will have this thing built and ready to go. And here's, we're done.
It makes it a pretty easy argument, or an easy transition. Because there's also not politicians on record here in the state saying, no, we're not willing to budge on this. Like we just saw with the mayor in Phoenix.
Yes.
He was incredulous. He was a little bit irate. He was a little.
Yeah.
I mean, that's borderline belligerent, where he's like, you're going to have to take it somewhere else out west.
Yep.
But I don't know what you guys are trying to, what wool you're trying to pull over, what you're trying to disguise an arena. Like, he used some words. I mean, those are on record. And if I'm the NHL, I'm like, okay, so Phoenix has a problem with us? Their mayor, their political system, their whatever governance that they've got with their land and ideas that they've got with their infrastructure, they've got a problem with us? Well, let's take it where they don't have a problem with us. Let's take it where we're an 8-minute drive from the airport. You know, let's take it where there has been a staple of professional sports fans that have embraced the only major sport in that town for the better part of, what are we at now, 50 years?
Yeah, 50 years. Yep, the 50th team. And, you know, and frankly, in a weird way, the Jazz still selling out that arena in one of the worst years we've seen in Jazz basketball in quite some time.
Yeah.
Is a good indication of how much people love their sports here in Utah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know the Jazz are an institution and it's an event anytime the Jazz play basketball, but to be able to say, like, look, we got an NBA team that we're tearing down and trying to build back up. We're playing rookies right and left. You know, it's not a great product right now, But yet people still show up and people still live and die for this team. You bring an NHL team here, we will embrace it with open arms just like we would. Look, we brought a Major League Soccer team here. And guess what? In 20 years, they are an institution and absolutely beloved.
Yeah.
Guess what? You bring an NHL team, we're going to have that same kind of fandom and that same kind of excitement.
Yeah, I would certainly think. I would certainly think, and I'm sure that Ryan Smith has done enough market research in regards to hockey fans in the state to ensure that. This isn't something – look, he's a guy that built Qualtrics. It's a polling service. He knows how to poll and regulate and look at numbers. And so he's going to have a – he's going to have a very good vision of what the fan base can and can't do here in the state of Utah. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've been on the inside of some of those Miller pollings and the way they work very hard to understand what their fan base is or what their listenership is and what it looks like and who's liked and who's not.
I'm not privy to this information, but just knowing in previous iterations and working, you know, with what they do and things like that, I will say that that group, I'm sure, is dialed in on how much money they can get on sponsorships, how many people are going to buy season tickets, how many suite tickets are going to be sold. Yeah. Like, I guarantee all that's lined up and ready to go.
I'll bet dialed into, like, the 90th, maybe 95th percent.
Yes.
They're not guessing.
No, no.
And my guess is part of Ryan Smith's allure is being able to take all of these numbers and drop it in the lap of the NHL and say, hey, why don't you look at these for yourself? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and look at this. Oh, and by the way, if you think I'm wrong, go take a look at this, whatever, $6 or $7 billion business I built and sold.
Yeah.
This is what we do, man. We understand what people are thinking. We understand what direction this state is headed in. So I love it, Scotty. I love it. I'm excited about it. And we might have NHL right here in the great state of Utah for the 2025 season.
Every day we get a little closer. And again, circle your calendars. April 18th, that's the day after the regular season ends for the Coyotes. I think we might see something coming down the pipeline in an announcement. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're out and about today. RGS Exteriors. Tim is with us. He is not on a lovely beach somewhere. He is hanging out with us.
I'm here.
Looking as svelte and handsome as possible.
What's up, handsome?
Hey, you know, life's just good sometimes, right?
Life is really good.
You know what? It's going to be so good to have hockey here. Like, we have season tickets for all of our employees for the Jazz, and, like, every one of us, they've been asked, is the same thing going to happen with hockey? Yep. We're going to have season tickets to hockey next year, I have a feeling.
Let's go.
You like hockey?
Dude, I've never even sat and watched a hockey game in my life, in real life. I've never even been to a hockey game. But
just knowing your passion and love for football,
I know, right?
I think both you and I would transition immediately.
We're going to be fans really fast. And I think the whole state will. I think Salt Lake as a whole, like, you guys know this. That's why we're such loyal fan base here. It's going to catch on like wildfire.
Yep.
We're going to be the Las Vegas Knights and maybe even better fan base than the Knights.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what else is catching on is RGS, man.
Let's do it.
Exteriors. You know, we've got so many people in this state that bought homes in the boom. They did it without inspections. They did it without questions. They just wanted to get into some real estate. And RGS is making it your dream home. So if you've got an idea of what you want your exterior to look like, that's where RGS excels. You guys excel in exterior remodels.
You know, I appreciate you saying that. You know, it's really interesting. We're just kind of wrapping up the first quarter numbers and looking at it. And believe it or not, we've had our best quarter in company history. And I don't
That's
mean that
incredible.
Braggadociously or arrogantly, but what that means is people are remodeling their homes. They're doing it. They're staying in. We've talked about it on the show many times, that 3% handcuff. Everybody has an interest rate. 75% of Americans have an interest rate of 3% or lower. They don't want to sell right now. Well, do the next best thing, and that's stay in your home. Let's update it. Let's get your home to look new. And then, frankly, you get all that money back if you were to sell it anyway. So we're just seeing such an absolute demand for people wanting to redo their exteriors more than we had ever even imagined.
Well, and here's, you know, I think it's so important to people to realize that, you know, you can customize and you can make the home yours. And there's really nothing you guys can't do in terms of color, with the way it looks. I mean, really have some fun with it. It's a blank slate, and let's get after it and really change how your home looks.
You're dead on, and I think that a lot of times one of the things that hold people back from moving is they just don't know. It's the fear, right? Well, one, go on Houzz, go on Pinterest, go on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Just find a home you like and send it to us. Can you do this to our home? And yes, the answer is yes. I mean, we've got bones we have to deal with, right? There's certain bones that your house has that we have to stay in those parameters. Yeah. You know, we can't make a 100-pound me look like Hans Olsen. Like, that isn't going to happen. But you know, look, we can do those things, right? There's some things that we can do, and we can make it really whatever you want or dream. Like you said, colors, styles, hardy, the windows, even the decking. Now, you name it, we can make it happen.
801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. And really, it just starts with a phone call. That's what I want people to understand. It just starts with a phone call. I actually had somebody on the street ask me about 3 or 4 days ago. They asked me, hey, do your buddies, your exterior buddies, do they do stucco repairs? I guess he's come out of the window the winter, and he's just got all kinds of cracks and little patches of his stucco that are falling off. Are you guys able to do some of that?
So this might be another conversation for another day in more detail, but yes, have them call and we'll look at it and we'll see what we can do. We've found more problems with stucco in the last year, really since COVID, than in our company's entire history. So we're actually making a shift away from it a little bit because of exactly what you said. Even if it's done correctly, that we're getting major, major cracks. And since COVID, materials just are not like they used to be in the stucco world. So we can help them, we can guide them, we can direct them, but we're going to try to probably spin or push somebody away from it a little bit and go a different direction. Our product that we can stand behind more and something that we can feel comfortable with 20 years from now.
Well, those are the kind of questions. Just get information. All you have to do is call 801-280-3110. It's RGS Exteriors. From rain gutters to complete overhaul to the outlook of your house, they're here to help you out. 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors. We're going to check in with the University of Utah coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Brian Taylor joins us now, co-host of Real Golf Radio. He is live in Augusta for the Masters.
Is there a single overlying storyline that people are talking about?
Scottie Scheffler is a big storyline. Having won 2 years ago, having won two of his last three starts with a second in the other one, and one of them being the Players' Championship, he's the number one player in the world, and he's an outright favorite. That's not always the case coming in here, and so I think that's a big storyline. Rory trying to complete the Kerr Grand Slam in year 10. John Rahm is the defending champion and lived a factor. So I think those are, and then obviously Tiger. He's looking for 24 consecutive cuts made here at Augusta. That would be a record. He's tied right now at 23. And if he is able to make it to the weekend, he will have the most consecutive cuts made in the history of the Masters. So that's a little storyline to watch, see if he can get to the weekend.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Advertising used to be simple. Your options were radio, TV, newspaper, and let's not forget the yellow pages. Now it seems like a tidal wave of options. Podcast, cable TV, streaming, OTT, CTV, audio network, smart speakers. On top of that, you need digital marketing for your website along with SEM, SEO, display, video, YouTube, email, and all the social media platforms.
Look, you're the expert in...
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 12:30. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Utah in the midst of spring ball, and joining us now, assistant head coach, offensive line coach at the University of Utah, Jim Harding, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What are you learning about your crew in spring ball, and are they on pace to where they're, you know, where they need to be as you get a little closer to fall?
You know, I think they are. You know, just in terms of the overall athleticism of the group, I think has taken a step forward. You know, I really feel that we've done a nice job of progressing in pass protection specifically. I think, you know, we'll always have a foundation of running the football here at Utah, and that certainly is there. But I do like the progress that they've made, specifically protecting not only in drop back pass, but in the play action pass as well.
So, Coach, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the 11th season coming up. I mean, here in the state of Utah, coaching with Kyle Whittingham, coaching in this offense for 11 years here in the great state of Utah. What has kept you here for 11 years? Because I know that there's been others that have come to get you.
You know, really, that's a great question, Hans, and it gives me a chance to just talk about, you know, I grew up in Ohio, never even stepped foot in the state of Utah outside of playing here when I was at Wyoming. But, you know, we moved here, my wife and I, when our kids were, our two boys were 3 and 1, and now 13 and 11, gives, you know, it's just a great place to raise a family. Coach Whittingham is certainly demanding and wants you to be the best and have your position group to perform. But, you know, you're always going to know exactly what Coach Witt has, you know, what he's thinking. There are no, you know, behind the door conversations. And sometimes it might be difficult to hear, but at the same time, I think at the end of the day, you know, you want to work for somebody that, you know, exactly what the expectations are, you know, what they expect from you. What you can expect from him, and then you combine that, like I mentioned, with, you know, the state of Utah and being able to raise a family here. My boys are, you know, heavily involved in sports and things like that in the community. And so, yeah, there have been opportunities, but this has been too great of a place to leave.
When you walk into a kid's home and you're recruiting an offensive lineman and you say you're from the University of Utah, does that resonate based on what you've been able to do? And not just, I mean, you know, I know you're going to share credit with the other coaches and the other staff members, but what the University of Utah has been able to do to put offensive linemen in the NFL and to be successful. Do kids these days understand the success you've had, and does that make your job a little easier as a recruiter?
I think it does. You know, with the transition to a new conference, our recruiting areas have changed slightly. And so I'm, you know, one of my areas is North Dallas, and getting an opportunity to go there in January really kind of opened my eyes to the respect that this program has nationwide, you know, what they feel about, you know, how physical we are up front, but then also just the stability of the program, the compliments that I heard about Coach Witt and just the way he runs the program. It really, like I mentioned, you know, opened my eyes to see that, you know, our brand has grown. I think it is well respected, and that certainly applies to the offensive line as well. And I wouldn't say recruiting is ever easy, but it certainly allows you to get your foot in the door on a lot of players.
Well, to your point, Scotty, just talking about Coach Harding, you know, I was going through his offensive line the other day, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, but I think you've got 10 offensive linemen on your roster from the state of Utah, including every year. It feels like the top offensive linemen, you've plucked them out, whether it was Spencer Fano or this year with Isaiah Garcia. You are really recruiting the state of Utah heavy for these big boys.
Yes, I think with every position group, you know, we certainly want to start at home first. And, you know, Utah, the development of the high school offensive linemen has really been something that in a lot of ways can compete with a lot of other states, right? I mean, there's teams from all over the country that come in and recruit the offensive linemen here in the state of Utah. And so, you know, having the opportunity, the selling point of, you know, you bring up Spencer Fano and Ike, you know, having the ability to tell them and their families that, hey, look, all the development that needs to take place and what you want to ultimately, you know, achieve as a player can be done right here. Here's the track record. Here are the guys that have gone on to the NFL. And, oh, by the way, you get an opportunity to play in front of your family and friends. That is not going to happen at another school out of state. I think certainly has given us an advantage to keep the best old linemen at home here in the state of Utah.
Well, speaking of those young guys, Spencer Fauna with an incredible freshman season. I cannot wait to see him in this next season. I know that you got some good guys coming back with Moko Fisi and others, but I do want to talk a little bit about Ike Garcia. Based off of some of the success you saw from Spencer Fauna in his freshman season, Was that the first freshman you've started? And then secondly, is Ike Garcia a potential starter for you coming into next season?
You know, Ike certainly did some good things this spring. I mean, we still have a couple more days of practice, but has done some good things. And having the room the way it is, and Ike obviously knowing Spencer and the success he's, you know, he had early on in his career, has given Ike the opportunity to kind of compare himself to Spencer, something to look up for. Look up to. And so, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say anyone can, you know, here's a starting five or anything like that. We still got, you know, work to get done, but certainly Ike has that opportunity to, you know, get in the top 10 and then ultimately get in the top five. And that's kind of the goal of all offensive linemen is, you know, I tell them that we typically will travel 10, maybe 11 O-linemen, and your goal is to make it into those, you know, one of those top 10 spots and then ultimately work into one of those starting five roles. And so I think not only Ike, but all linemen have, you know, very similar initial goals when they get into the program.
Who's your leader of that group right now? That's kind of leading the way in spring.
I think just, you know, Michael Mokofisi is a guy that has the most experience, and that naturally lends itself to being in a position of leadership. But I like what Jaron Kump has done, who's been around the program for a while and has a number of starts under his belt. You know, even a guy like Spencer, even though he's younger, I think he's got some credibility in the room. But to answer your question directly, you know, Moko is the guy that I think kind of drives the room right now.
Hey, Coach, can you tell me about the path of Kali Nuu? Because I saw that, you know, I think it was maybe four or five games in, you started starting him at center last year, and I watched him, did a lot of film work on him. I thought he was really sound in a lot of the snaps, and I really liked his game, but I don't really know what his path was. Where did he come from, and how'd you find him, and how has he done through spring?
Yeah, so to answer the last question, he's done a great job. He's played primarily center, has played some guard reps as well. Super intelligent player, which I think that, you know, the center needs to be. He calls, you know, all of our centers when you're playing there, you're calling not only the stacks in the run game, but also any protection flips, et cetera. So he's from the state of Washington, went to North Creek High School, and he was part of the COVID recruiting. And so he, Zeraway Williams, and Moko all came in the same class, if I remember right. Moko we had seen because he's a local kid, but Coley and Zeraway, during that time, if you remember, you know, COVID, all the visits were off of Zoom, and so we would Zoom with him and things like that, and visit with his mom on those Zoom calls. But the first time I ever saw Coley was when he showed up on campus to enroll. Same thing with Zeraway. And so, that was that, what would it have been, the 2020, I can't remember the years, they all kind of blend together now, but it was, bottom line, I had not seen Coley in person until he showed up on campus in June of, what would that be, 2020, I think it is?
Yeah, June of 2020. Yeah, that's remarkable. I had no idea about that, but he was impressive stepping in and doing what he was able to do, and it feels like you've got a deep crew back, and I can't wait to see what it does for you, Coach.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited, and still got work to get done with a couple more training cycles and a couple more practices yet this spring, but I do share the same excitement.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. We know it's a busy time for you, so thanks for taking a few moments with us. Good luck the rest of the spring, and can't wait to get fall started.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
You got it. Jim Harding, offensive line coach, University of Utah, and why am I forgetting the name of the guy that was the OC that brought him with him?
Christensen, no. Yeah, Christensen. Didn't
yeah, Dave Christensen.
It was Dave Christensen.
Yeah. You know, the Dave Christensen era wasn't a good one in terms of stability and length.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit tumultuous. If there was one time you look at the Kyle Whittingham era and go like, that wasn't a great time. But What did come out of that was an elite-level offensive line coach who has just been a absolute institution for Kyle Whittingham, and that's Jim Harding. And you hear the admiration that he has for Kyle and the stability. And you know, we talk about players that want hard coaching, that want honesty, that want directness, and want to know exactly where they stand with their coaches. Assistant coaches and coordinators want that as well. They want a head coach that'll be very direct with them. I mean, we've seen Jim Harding and Kyle Whittingham get after each other on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think
they're animated.
They're very animated, mm-hmm. but you know what? They're direct, and I think they obviously they respect the hell out of each other.
Yeah, they do.
And it's a great working relationship, and Kyle Jim Harding has been very good for Kyle Whittingham, and Kyle Whittingham's been very good for Jim Harding.
Oh, yeah, man. They work in tandem really well. And I am I'm a really big fan of the Harding basics. Just when you get back to where he learned his offensive line, what he implements with his techniques.
Yeah.
You know, all the stupid little things with replacement and hops off bull rush and all those little details that you've got to have as an offensive lineman, it all translates to the league really well.
You know, this is, look, there's about a million reasons why I love doing a show with you every day. But one of the really cool things is, and I know Lloyd and I kind of make fun of the offensive line talk, but I think it's really interesting to know that there are very different ways of coaching offensive line.
Very much so.
And you've really enlightened me and a lot of our listeners in terms of there's a lot of different styles.
Yeah.
In which, I'm not even talking like schematically in terms of zone blocking or any of that other stuff, just little technique things here where
the tweak techniques,
you know, you got, you know, the Howard Mudd stuff that you love and that you talk about. And then other guys have different methods and you'll come back from a spring, you know, from a spring practice from another team in the state. And you'll be like, I don't really like the way they're coaching that up right now. And you were kind of early in on the stuff going down in Provo. Like, I don't know if that's sustainable or not. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And now they're making it. But you've always been like the way Jim Harding coaches and the way the technique he coaches aligns itself for what the University of Utah needs to do and aligns itself for helping these guys get ready for the NFL so they're draft eligible and teams are like, yes, that guy, we need him. Let's go.
No, absolutely. Everything that he does. And, you know, just to your point, because I don't know if people really see just how deep technique gets the further up you go. Now, all your base things stay the same, but little tweaks on techniques always grow the further up you go. And having a good understanding of just a simple reach block and how you perform a reach block as an offensive tackle with a widened five technique, how you get to the edge of that and how you move that defensive end to where you need to move him. Or, Scotty, talking about the center position, you know, you've got close-off technique or you've got vertical technique in your run blocking, which means once I get you as a defensive tackle, let's say you're in a minus technique, so you're just off my right shoulder and I'm sitting in the center position, I take my step, and when I hit you on the shoulder that I want to get to, some coaches will teach to swing, to shove your butt to the gap and to try to get in between you and the gap. Some coaches will teach more of a vertical approach, and the NFL insists on more of a vertical approach. So once I hit that shoulder, I don't turn. I just continue to drive on that shoulder.
So instead of walling off, you're just pushing him downfield.
Instead of turning and walling, I'm just continuing to push. And it's like little things like that. If I get a bull rush and you come and hit me with 270 pounds of bull rush power and I start to give ground, do I give ground with a lurching 1 foot step or do I get into a bunny hop and start to hop back? Like, it's all these little tiny details in coaching that makes a difference to me. It might not make a difference to a lot of people. And it's the same on the defensive line side of things. You know, these finite, these little minute details makes a difference. And Jim Harding's had 7 offensive linemen drafted.
Yeah.
7 offensive linemen drafted
in
his time.
Crazy number.
I think BYU's had 2 drafted since 2005.
Yeah.
So think about that. Or 2004, somewhere in there. It's like 2 drafted since then.
Wow.
So Jim Harding has done some really impressive things in his 11 years. And one of my favorite things that he does, I mentioned, he's got 10 offensive linemen here from the state of Utah.
Yeah.
In his group. 10.
Well, you know,
he loves this state.
It's the same thing. If Morgan Scalley comes into my home and, you know, and he's talking to my kid and he goes, hey, your kid's a great safety. We want him at the University of Utah. We think he can be an NFL guy. And I'm like, all right, you've got the track record and resume that proves that.
Yeah.
So if you tell me that, I'm going to believe you.
For sure.
Now, if Andy Ludwig comes in and goes, I think your son's a quarterback. I think he can go to the NFL. I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't know about that.
You sure?
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Now, if Jim Harding comes in and goes, your son's an offensive lineman, I can get him to the NFL. I'm like,
let's go.
Yep. Let's roll, because you've set that up. You've got the precedent, and I've seen it happen. So I trust you. Here's my son. Let's go.
And, you know, I feel that way about Utah, the entire defensive side for Utah. I feel that way.
Yeah.
And then I feel that way about offensive line, and I'm really starting to feel that way about tight ends.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
For Utah. Yeah. I mean, those two position groups, offensive line and tight ends for Utah. I want people to watch Landon King. Watch Landon King opposite of Brant Keithy this year. He's going to blow up. All of his touch to route techniques, they're all just the classic techniques. What Freddie Whittingham is doing is what you're seeing from your elite NFL tight ends now. You're getting a quick chip block, but you're understanding your chip techniques. Not get overly engaged. Don't get your body turned. But be able to chip and really help an offensive tackle before you get to route. These guys are killing it with those things. And that's why you're seeing tight end production skyrocket at the University of Utah. And Landon King opposite of Brant Keithy is going to be an elite combo.
Hands on Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, what you may have missed. We'll chat with Bob Casper coming up a little bit later on in the show. Get you your Masters update and more NHL talk, folks. Hope you like hockey, because it feels like it's coming. Get ready. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
It's not official. Obviously, an agreement has to be made on a sale. An agreement has to be made with the NHL to relocate the franchise. The owners of the NHL have to agree to that. They have to have a vote, I believe, to relocate a franchise. There's a lot of things that have to be done. But an announcement of a sale could be coming very, very soon. And all signs point to that franchise being sold to Ryan Smith and being moved to Utah. Get ready for NHL hockey, Utah fans, here in 2024-2025. Starting in October, you may have an NHL hockey team in this market. And that is so exciting.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chick.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great Wednesday. Hey, let's stay with the University of Utah. Had a chance to chat with Jim Harding. Now let's switch over to the defensive side. Colton Swan, the pride of Jerome High School, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing really well.
We're doing so well, man. This has been awesome to follow your linebackers and just kind of give us an overall view of this linebacker room that you've put together for the 2024 season.
Well, I've had, I've got four guys that, you know, were coming into this spring with experience. Guys that played last year, so a lot of depth. You know, I got two guys back from missions. They had reps before they left on a mission, and then I brought in two high school kids that, you know, should be at the senior prom right now. So graduated early and came back graduated early and came up here and decided to, you know, advance their play and get some extra months in. So it's been good from a depth standpoint as far as a linebacker position.
You know, whether it's at Utah or Weber State, you've dealt with missionaries. Is there like a rule of thumb on it's going to take a kid X amount of time to get ready to go? Or is it just every kid's a little different in that regard?
I would say every kid's a little bit different. With my two guys, Moroni and I and Trey Reynolds, that came back off their missions, they're so physically talented. Their physical skill set is through the roof. It's almost as if they got back off their mission. I'm like, geez, did you guys even go? Or did you guys just push cars the whole time on your mission? I mean, it was unbelievable how the skill set or the build that they were in coming back, because, you know, taking a 2-year hiatus can be taxing on the body. And when you're, you know, asking to compete at a physical level and put those rigors on your body, it can be strenuous. But these two guys have handled it really well.
The Gold Gym South mission.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if Coach Swan has the ability to call a mission president and say either one of them on a bike or walking or pushing
a car.
Yeah,
right. One of the three. They don't get a ride in the car. They have to push the car.
Yeah.
Put the members in it, the prospective members, and push them to the war. Coach, I wanted to talk a little bit about Lavani DeMooney. Some bad news coming down during spring ball. How bad does that hurt your room and your overall thoughts on Lavani?
Well, it's unfortunate. You lose a really good player like Lavani. I think that hurts any room. He's a very impactful type of player. Great young man. I feel obviously horrible for him and his family, but he's a great kid, and he's going to keep a good head on, and hopefully, you know, something will work out for him in the future at whatever he, decides to do. So, but from a depth standpoint, you know, we've been, like I said, going into the spring, we've been deep, and, you know, it's caused a few of the other guys to have to step up. You know, Sione Fotu's been a guy that's proven, whether it was clear back in 2020 when he was here in the COVID year with Nephi Sewell and Devin Lloyd starting as a true freshman and, you know, coming back off his mission last year. He ran out there against Florida in the very first game and showcased his talents. And he's a guy that I feel 100% confident in. So, you know, you still got Lander Barton and Kareni Reed and Sione. So those are all guys that you feel comfortable as a coach. And then you bring back return missionaries like Moroni and I and Trey Reynolds. And then you bring in a couple more freshman guys. It's forced guys to step up and kind of own a little bit more of a role. But at the same time, it's comforting to know that you got so many good players.
How is Lander progressing off of that injury?
Good. Yeah, good. I mean, Lander's kind of a proven commodity. He's accrued a lot of reps over the last 2 years here. We know what he can do. Spring is a good time to allow everybody to compete and showcase their talents. And so it's been good for, you know, those two missionary guys to come back and showcase what they're all about. It's been good for Sione Fotu to step up and take that a bigger role. It's also been good for those two high school kids that, you know, graduated early to get a ton of reps. I mean, that's what they came here to do and why they graduated early. So it's been a blessing in disguise, unfortunately, with the injury to Lavani. But it's been good as far as, you know, guys getting reps in the room.
I'll tell you what, Coach Swan, I have to blink a few times and take a look at it and double take on it. Sixth season now at the University of Utah as a linebackers coach, and you've seen talent. You mentioned Francis Bernard, and I remember Muhammad Diabate and Nephi Sewell and Devin Lloyd, your top round draft pick. And what's it like watching these guys progress, excel, and going into the NFL? Is that a sense of pride? Do you feel like it's a son getting drafted or a son signing a new contract? Like, what's that like seeing all the success and guys move on?
You know what? The best part about it is when they come back and say hi. I mean, I had Nephi Sewell in the office the other day, and that's just the best part of it. When they leave and take off, you don't get to see much of them, and they're kind of in their own world doing their own, you know, season, and we're in ours. But when they come back, man, it's just awesome. There's a little sense of pride, you know. I'm just very grateful and thankful that I got the opportunity to coach such good players. Those guys work hard. They're the idealistic type of linebacker that we're looking for. Guys that are smart, guys that work hard, you know, going to put themselves in good positions to be successful. And that's what it's all about.
Well, Coach, we know we got to cut you loose. We appreciate you hopping on with us. Good luck the rest of spring ball, and can't wait to get things going in the fall.
Excited to see you, Coach.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Colton Swan.
The pride of Jerome High.
Yeah.
when you started with that. Thought, man, because we don't get a lot of time with these guys.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just sit on that for 5 minutes and talk about his time at Jerome High. But he is a Weber State legend.
Yeah, not a lot of good comes out of Jerome, Idaho, but Colton Swan's one of them.
Colton Swan is one of them. And his name should be on everything when it comes to Weber State.
Yes.
He stayed and coached through many, many coaches. He played. He did everything at Weber State. But he's killing it with University of Utah.
That's a guy that paid his dues, man. Paid his dues in a big way. Yeah. And everything that's coming his way, and hopefully there's more things coming his way down the pipeline because he deserves all the good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what's coming his way is potentially a first-round draft pick if Lander Barton can stay healthy.
Yeah.
If Lander Barton stays healthy, he is a first-round draftable linebacker.
There's nobody in the state that matches what he can do.
Not in my opinion. not in my opinion. And I know that he doesn't get to work directly with Logan Fano because Fano's going to be rushing the edge.
Yeah.
But there are some defenders right now at the University of Utah that you just salivate over because of how good they're going to be. If Lander Barton and Logan Fano are clicking on all cylinders, saddle up.
Buckle up.
That'll be one of the best tandems in – that might be the best defensive tandem in the University of Utah history. But those guys have unlimited amounts of talent.
A little bit of breaking news. Our guest that will join us coming up at 2:05, Frank Saravalli, just tweeted out, breaking, sources tell Daily Faceoff, NHL, Arizona Cardinals, and Smith Entertainment Group have made significant progress on the framework of an agreement to relocate the Coyotes to Salt Lake City. NHL memo updated the governors today. It's not done. Many layers and lawyers, much work to do.
And he's going to be joining us at 2.
2 o'clock. Get ready, folks. We'll get an update from him straight ahead. You're listening to 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Tim's hanging out with us. RGS Exteriors. Tim.
Hey, it's done, man. It's happening. They're coming.
Yeah. I mean.
Call me the prophet.
You're the seer.
Tim Stradamus joining us now. But, you know, honestly, it's an exciting time for sports here in Utah. It's an exciting time overall. The population's growing. A lot of people are looking at their houses and saying, look, this is my forever home now because I'm locked in at 2.8% or 3%. And so let's make it work. And a lot of people have a ton of home equity that they can play around with as well. So you can personalize that home and make it yours.
You know, we have an amazing state, right? We're so blessed here. The weather's finally turning. We're going to have spring. I'll tell you, I'm going to, when I leave the show, I'm going to my son's track meet. It'll be the first track meet. I'm not freezing my ever living butt off.
Yeah.
Baseball and track season in Utah sucks. But anyway, going back to the point that the weather's good, people are getting out, they're looking at their homes, and they're starting to discover, hey, we have some things we need to work on. And that's what we're here. Whether it's the gutters, whether it's the siding, whatever it is, we've had a harsh winter, a long winter, maybe not too extreme, but it's carried in, and we're here to help.
Yeah, this is what I love so much about RGS, and when you're just talking about the appearance of your home. If you bought something and you're just tired of it, but you're never going to leave it, think about taking all that stucco and changing it into a beautiful hardy plank. Or think about taking that stucco and turning it into a brick or some type of stone wrap or just building it into what your dream home would look like. Now, you can make that vision a reality with RGS because they plug pictures into their software and you can see the hardy on it or the stone wrap. And that's got to be one of your favorite parts of the whole process, Tim, is being able to bring whatever somebody's vision is to reality so they can actually see it on paper.
It is, and we've talked about it on the show many times. You drive through a subdivision, and you know those homes were 90s, yeah. Those were 2000s. Like, you know, well, our whole goal and desire is to make that 80s, 90s, 2000 home look like a 2024 home. And exactly what you just said, Hans, that's exactly what we can do. We basically take that computer program, we put your mind and all the things you want, and we put it in there. We see what it looks like. It comes to life. You and Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Jones and yourself, whatever it is, you look at it and decide that's what we want, and then we build it. And then the magic happens. And then, you know, when the project's done, you step back and you go, wow, I cannot imagine this home is even the same house.
Well, I think it's important for people to know that you, because sometimes these projects can be a little intimidating, and you can have people come out to your house. You have the computerized renderings. You can show the colors on what everything's going to look like. You want to make sure people are as confident in this process as possible and as comfortable, because I think that scares away some people. Like, I don't know if I can handle something of this magnitude.
You're dead on. Not only that aspect of it, but just going back to the stress of it.
Yeah.
Right. And our whole goal is to eliminate that stress from the phone call until you write that final check. And if we've done our job right, you're going to be happy. You're going to give us a Google review. You know, that's something we haven't even talked about. I think we're over 800 Google reviews now. And so that tells you we're doing something right. Now, are we perfect? No. But we're getting better, and we're getting better all the time. And we just want to make the process easy, painless, and let's just make it happen for you.
Let's go. It's really simple. It all starts with a phone call. Right now, all you have to do is call 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors. We haven't even talked about rain gutters, too. I mean, it can be as simple as that, or it can be a massive, complete overhaul to the outlook of your home and everything in between. RGS is here to help you out. 801-280-3110, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.